अब हमारी सरकार का तीसरा कार्यकाल भी बहुत दूर नहीं है। ज्यादा से ज्यादा 100 सवा 100 दिन बाकी है और अब की बार पूरा देश कह रहा है, अब की बार खड़गे जी भी कह रहे हैं।
सारा का सारा इंफॉर्मेशन, किससे एक्सटॉर्शन किया है, किसको कॉन्ट्रैक्ट दिया है, कॉन्ट्रैक्ट देने के बाद उसने कितना पैसा दिया है, वो पूरी ब्लूप्रिंट इलेक्ट्रोल बॉन्ड्स में लिखी हुई है। तो नरेंद्र मोदी जी ने आज नहीं तो कल ऑपोजिशन को पूरी चार्जशीट, प्रूफ शीट इलेक्ट्रोरल बॉन्ड्स के थ्रू पकड़ा दी है। तो इसीलिए थोड़ा टेरर हो रहा है उनको, इसीलिए नंबर निकला है 400 पार। इसलिए ये महाराष्ट्र में हमारे नेता ले जा रहे हैं, हरियाणा में सब जगह हमारे नेता ले जा रहे हैं, क्योंकि इनको लग रहा है कि भैया अगर 400 पार नहीं, 180 हो गई, 160 हो गई, 140 हो गई तो नैया पार हो जाएगी।
द स्टेज इज सेट। प्राइम मिनिस्टर नरेंद्र मोदी हैज गिवन अ वॉर क्राई ऑफ अब की बार 400 पार, exhorting the BJP cadres to work towards an unprecedented tally of 400 seats in the forthcoming Lok Sabha elections. Though the BJP is confident of garnering a majority on its own, it is forging alliances with regional parties like Chandrababu Naidu's TDP, Jayant Chaudhary's RLD, G.K. Vasan's Tamil Manila Congress, Ambumani Ramadas's PMK, and Janata Dal Secular in Karnataka. On the other hand, is the opposition's India bloc, which is walking the political tightrope of tying up in some states and taking on each other in some others. In this episode, we take a look at how the political alliances are stacked up. Are they really important? And to what extent could they impact the results in Lok Sabha elections 2024? My colleagues from Economic Times Political Bureau, Rakesh Mohan Chaturvedi and CL Manoj, will help me in deconstructing it for you. It is Tuesday, the 9th of April. From the Economic Times, I'm your host Nidhi Sharma and you're listening to the Morning Brief podcast.
Top political story of the day, and that's coming from Uttar Pradesh today, where the Samajwadi Party and the Congress have finally stitched an alliance.
The state of Maharashtra, where the Maharashtra Mahayuti seat sharing talks at the moment are in the last leg. The Rashtriya Samaj Paksh has now said that they will be making sure that they support the BJP. In fact, this was the party that at the moment was hornhobbing with the opposition Mahavikas Agade for the past many weeks.
The buzz over a possible alliance between the BJP and the BJD. Now, Odisha BJP President Manmohan Samal has said that there will be no alliance between the BJP and the BJD. He says the BJP will fight in all seats of Odisha on its own capacity.
The big battle for India has begun. Both the BJP and the Congress have finalized their alliances, a factor that could play a decisive role in determining the ultimate winner. India Alliance, the strong show of unity visible last year, has now faded, even though the alliance has managed to seal deals in important seats and important states as Uttar Pradesh.
The year was 1967. The Indian National Congress had dominated the electoral politics of India. Jawaharlal Nehru had been voted to power thrice in 1952, 1957 and 1962. But 1967 elections marked the end of Congress dominance. A coalition of parties, Bharatiya Kranti Dal, Samyukt Socialist Party, Praja Socialist Party and the Janasangh, formed governments in 9 states. The Samyukta Vidhayak Dal, or SVD, as this coalition was called, formed the first non-Congress governments in some of these nine states, including Uttar Pradesh. These governments did not provide the stability that Congress had been synonymous with. Later, the Janata Dal experiment in 1977 also did not last. The late 1990s saw three prime ministers, Atal Bihari Vajpayee, H.D. Devegowda and I.K. Gujral, in 2 years. Clearly, governments formed out of alliances were not providing the much-needed stability. But the Indian polity has turned a corner. In 2019 Lok Sabha elections, BJP crossed the majority mark in the 543-member Lok Sabha on its own, completely obliterating its dependence on allies. What was remarkable about the victory was in some states like Rajasthan, Gujarat, Haryana, Delhi, Madhya Pradesh and Karnataka, BJP had won all or almost all the Lok Sabha constituencies. And over the years, it has only emerged stronger, winning successive state assembly elections. I am joined by my colleague Rakesh Mohan Chaturvedi, who covers BJP for the Economic Times. Welcome to the morning brief, Rakesh. Rakesh, how do you look at the slogan, Ab ki baar 400 paar? Is it a feasible target or just a war cry to enthuse the cadres?
Well, it's a very ambitious target that the BJP has set for itself and for the NDA. It had won 303 seats in 2019, and for it to cross 370 after being 10 years in power, maybe it's becoming too ambitious. And if you look at some of the states where BJP had reached saturation, you know, it had won all the seats, states like Rajasthan, Gujarat, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand. Even in states like Madhya Pradesh and Karnataka, it had won almost all the seats, except a few here and there. It is a difficult target to meet. But when you set a big target, it does make the cadre work harder to get at least, you know, the target that they would probably have had in mind. This is much higher than that. And so they will probably be striving to achieve it, which in the long run may help the BJP increase its tally or at least maintain the 2019 status quo.
So how important are the allies this time for the BJP?
Yeah, so, you know, as we all understand, no political party is keen on having an alliance if it can win seats on its own. And after 2014, BJP was a very different party. You know, it got 282 seats in the 2014 Lok Sabha elections. And gradually, the NDA partners, one, they were not given that the importance that they had earlier because their need was less. And the post of NDA convener, which was given to the Janata Dal United earlier, that also kind of became redundant, and Amit Shah handled most of the alliance issues. TDP, which was a part of the NDA in 2014, Chandrababu Naidu tried to become the convener and tried to bring all the NDA partners together. But that also did not get much traction, and BJP has been on its own. In 2024, there are two theories. One, after 10 years of being in power, BJP does sense that in certain states, it's not going to perform as well as it did in 2019. And so it needs allies. What if it ends up with, say, 230 or 250 seats? The other is, of course, the slogan of 370 seats for BJP and 400 plus for the NDA. And to achieve that, you need partners. So both these factors are being talked about. Once the results are out, we'll know whether BJP was hunting for these allies mainly because it thought it will probably not get the magic numbers, or whether it is to set a new target for itself.
BJP tried to tie up with BJD in Odisha and Shiromani Akali Dal in Punjab. So why haven't alliances fructified in these states?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question. You know, Shiromani Akali Dal was the oldest ally of the NDA. It had walked out in 2019 before the elections because of the farm law protests. And, you know, Punjab is an agrarian state, and Shiromani Akali Dal rightly sensed that the backlash of this will cost it dear in the elections. And so it walked out. It did not help Shiromani Akali Dal much, but since then, even though the farm laws have been repealed, the resentment against the Narendra Modi government is there. In the assembly elections, the Aam Aadmi Party cashed in on this and came to power. The farm protests had started again, though this time the center has made all efforts to prevent it from reaching Delhi. But Shiromani Akali Dal again realized that because of this protest and the simmering discontent among the farmers in Punjab, it will affect Akali Dal's prospects in the Lok Sabha elections. As far as the BJD is concerned, BJP was very keen on making further inroads into Odisha. And there were talks, they were hopeful. BJD is also a former ally which had walked out before the 2009 elections because of communal violence, and there were some attacks on Christian missionaries, and Naveen Patnaik felt that having an alliance with BJP will affect his prospects. BJP had won 8 out of the 21 seats in Odisha, and BJD had won 12. Only one seat was won by the Congress. Further, BJD has usually, you know, extended issue-based support to the NDA government at the center in parliament when it came to some key issues or legislations. But yeah, the alliance did not work out. Naveen Patnaik realized that, you know, BJP is not bringing much to the table as far as BJD is concerned. So as long as he is at the helm, he would probably want to win elections on his own instead of having an alliance with the BJP, because it will only affect his own party.
Let's come to Bihar. There have been several flip-flops here. Does BJP need Nitish Kumar?
Now, in Bihar, of course, Nitish Kumar has been a slippery customer. You know, he has joined NDA, then he's left, and then he's come back. BJP obviously needed a partner in Bihar, because when JDU and RJD and Congress had joined hands in the 2015 assembly elections, BJP had lost badly. And so this alliance was very much needed by the BJP. In Bihar, BJP had contested 17 seats. Nitish Kumar had contested another 17, and LJP had contested 6 seats. Out of the 40 seats in Bihar, the NDA had won 39. Only Kishanganj was won by the Congress. But this time, it's a bit difficult because the RJD has improved over time and it did well in the assembly elections. And Nitish Kumar is not exactly the popular leader that he was earlier. He has also created a lot of faux pas, and his constant flip-flop and moving from one alliance to the other, we don't know when the people would see through it and you know, stop supporting him. But Bihar, as you said, 40 seats, it's a big number. And the last election, BJP had won all the 17 seats it contested. It would want to repeat that performance, if not better it.
Okay, one last question. Which are the states to watch out for?
Yeah, so the elections in Maharashtra, of course, will be interesting because the Sharad Pawar faction is fighting for its survival, and the NCP Ajit Pawar faction, which is now with the NDA, is trying to, you know, become the main party. Again, with the Shiv Sena, the breakaway faction, the Shinde faction is with the BJP, and Uddhav Thackeray is fighting a battle to inherit the legacy of his father, Bal Thackeray. Karnataka, BJP had won 25 seats out of 28, and now that the Congress is in power in the state, again, it will be an uphill task for the BJP. It has struck an alliance with the JDS, so in South Karnataka, in some seats, they will gain. But whether BJP will be able to retain all its 25 seats, again, it is difficult to say at the moment. In Delhi, Aam Aadmi Party and Congress have an alliance. After the arrest of Arvind Kejriwal, things have soured up a bit. But if they contest sensibly, then BJP will again have to be careful there. Haryana, JJP has walked out, and Aam Aadmi Party is contesting Kurukshetra. So Congress is more hopeful this time, because people don't see, I mean, many analysts feel that to win all the 10 seats in Haryana would be a bit difficult for the BJP this time. Rajasthan, again, it had resaturation points. So now Congress stands a good chance of winning in, say, around 5 seats or so. Gujarat, of course, BJP will probably be sweeping the state, even though Aam Aadmi Party has done well in the assembly elections in some seats. Madhya Pradesh, again, Congress is trying hard this time. Digvijay Singh is contesting. Chhindwara, again, is difficult for the BJP because Kamal Nath's son, Nakul Nath, is in the fray. Himachal Pradesh, I think BJP is in a good position. Uttarakhand, again, probably all the seats. Narendra Modi has been making a lot of effort to win seats in the south, where, you know, in Kerala, in Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, they have drawn a blank. In Telangana is the only state where BJP has had won 4 seats last time. But in Kerala, it would be very difficult for BJP to win any seats. In Tamil Nadu, because of this Kachativu issue, and in seats like Coimbatore, in Kanyakumari, BJP is hopeful that it may win the seats, but it's very difficult. So there are 65 seats down south where BJP does not have much of a presence, or it's almost nil.
The opposition has stitched up a loose alliance, the India bloc. The effort started with Bihar Chief Minister Nitish Kumar playing a pivotal role in bringing all major players together in 2023. But within months, he did an about-turn and jumped ship to join the BJP-led NDA. Larger alliances between different parties are in place in several states like Delhi, Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, Jharkhand, Tamil Nadu, Gujarat and Goa. But there are intrinsic differences in the India bloc. Congress is in a direct fight with the left front in Kerala, but has an alliance with the left front in Jharkhand, Bihar, West Bengal and Rajasthan. Congress is fighting against Aam Aadmi Party in Punjab, but is in alliance in Delhi, Haryana, Gujarat and Goa. The latest onslaught by investigative agencies has united the fragmented India bloc. The Bonhomie was on display at Ramlila Maidan on March 31, when all parties came together to protest against the arrest of Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal and Jharkhand's Hemant Soren. Trinamool Congress, which had refused to tie up with Congress in Bengal, took this opportunity to clarify, "We remain with India bloc." I'm joined by my senior colleague C.L. Manoj, who has been covering state and parliamentary elections since late 1990s. Welcome to the show, Manoj. Manoj, can you explain to us what are the contours of the opposition's India bloc? Who is with whom and in which state?
Well, this opposition alliance, the India bloc, which was, it started with an initiative in June last year at Patna. And then after 3-4 meetings, there is, you can say, theoretically, alliance in place. It did suffer some setbacks in the form of one of its early architects, Nitish Kumar, walking out and returning to the BJP alliance. And another important player, Mamata Banerjee, refusing to have an alliance with the Congress in Bengal. So after these two major setbacks, India alliance today has alliances, say, in Uttar Pradesh, mostly between Congress and Samajwadi Party. You have a larger alliance in Bihar, where Lalu Yadav's RJD is leading the India bloc with the Congress and 3 left parties and some smaller parties part of it. Then another major state is Maharashtra, where the Congress, NCP and Uddhav Thackeray's group of Shiv Sena are in alliance. You have alliance with the Aam Aadmi Party. In this election, there is alliance in a few states, like Delhi, the main place where the Aam Aadmi Party took away the political space of the Congress. Today, they are in alliance with the Congress as a junior partner. They also have a limited alliance in Gujarat and also one seat alliance in Haryana, and some understanding in Gujarat. However, there is no alliance in Punjab, which is the second state Aam Aadmi Party is ruling. So India alliance also has alliance with JMM in Jharkhand and also has understanding with the left in West Bengal, while the left and Congress are fighting against each other in Kerala. There are some seats Congress has given to some regional parties and left in states like Jharkhand, in states like Odisha, and even Rajasthan.
There are internal differences between several players. So how do these differences play out?
Well, as Nidhi knows that this alliance of India Alliance is more of a compulsion than a conviction that brought these opposition parties together. That most of these parties, whether it is Congress or Trinamool Congress or Aam Aadmi Party, Congress or left parties, they are all main rivals in many of their states. And even with Akhilesh Yadav Samajwadi Party, the Congress has a very tense relation in Uttar Pradesh. Similarly, there was a kind of on and off relation between RJD and Congress in Bihar. Mamata Banerjee, despite being a very active participant in the India Alliance talks, the fact is that TMC became TMC as a ruling party of West Bengal by decimating the Congress party and the left in Bengal. So an alliance extension would mean she's also giving a helping hand to help revive the same parties she had defeated in the past to gain the power of West Bengal. Such things may not be possible on practical politics.
So, Manoj, do you think complexities in the alliance, like Congress and Aam Aadmi Party are together in Delhi and not in Punjab, and similarly, Congress and left are together in Bengal and fighting against each other in Kerala. So do such complexities complicate matters?
It does bring a lot of complications for the opposition leaders. And also, we have noticed that one of the running themes in the BJP's election campaign, especially in the speeches of the Prime Minister, was to drive the, repeatedly point at the contradictions among the India partners and how these very parties are friends in some states and are rivals in some other states. But that is a reality the Indian Alliance will have to live with, and that will remain a weakness of this alliance, especially when it comes to West Bengal. There is a possibility that on the one side, there is Mamata, and other side, Congress and the left parties are also conducting a very bitter campaign and very aggressive campaign against Mamata Banerjee, even though by all indications, real fight in Bengal is between the Trinamool Congress and the BJP, pushing the Congress-left alliance to a margin. Similarly, in Delhi, while Aam Aadmi Party has already announced its candidates for four seats and people are waiting to see the Congress three candidates, we need to really know whether the coordination and the understanding that reached between the top leadership of the Congress party and the Aam Aadmi Party, whether it will actually play out on the ground. So therefore, there will be complications. But there are states like, for example, Bihar. Bihar has a better experience of RJD, Congress and left parties working together in many elections. Similarly, Congress, DMK and left parties in Tamil Nadu have a long history of working together. So there are some states, alliance may be more on the paper and may find many difficulties, but there are some states where the alliance has a history of having worked together in the past.
So could you tell us, Manoj, what was the role of alliances in 2004 elections where BJP lost to UPA?
If you look at carefully, the political situation is quite different from, if you compare 2024 with 2004. In 2004, while of course the BJP government was in power, the both national parties were not very strong. In fact, if you look at the 2004 election, both the BJP and the Congress could not touch 150 mark. In fact, the difference between the Congress, which won 145 seats, and BJP that came 138, was only a difference of 7. Whereas today, the situation is entirely different. On the one side, you have a very powerful BJP, for the first time under Mr. Narendra Modi's leadership. On the other hand, for the first time in the long history of the Congress party, the party slipped below the required 55-seat mark required to become even a leader of the opposition. So in 2014, Congress could get only 44 seats, and 2019, Congress could get only about 53 seats, whereas the other national party got more than a simple majority on its own, and is about in the range of around 300 seats. So there is a big difference between 2004 and 2024 in terms of the respective positioning of the two principal political players in the country. BJP is at its peak, and Congress probably is at its nadir.
There is no really a common manifesto or agenda that the opposition has. So do political alliances have such a common agenda, a program, and does it help?
Well, that's an interesting question, because if you look at the history of coalition politics, where, you know, in the past when major opposition coalitions came out against very formidable governments at the center, there were two distinct character to those alliances. One, they managed to come with a convincing or rather attractive narrative against the incumbent government. The post-emergency election gave the Janata Party, despite being very new formation with the merger of various political parties with conflicting views, there was a narrative to help regain the democracy, and all those kind of anti-emergency narrative was there. They managed to project Indira Gandhi's leadership as somebody tried to undo Indian democracy, and there was too many stalwarts in the Janata Party. But compared to all those past alliances, today when we are heading towards election, the India Bloc alliance seems to be handicapped on two fronts. One, so far they have not able to come out with what I must say a refreshing narrative before the people, because the same old themes against the BJP. But as of now, we don't have a something very new, like when the UPA was losing the election. That time BJP and Mr. Narendra Modi managed to create a narrative around against corruption, which they managed to brand the UPA government as a corrupt government, which was also helped by the fact that Mr. Kejriwal and his then guru, and they all had formed a India Against Corruption Alliance. But nevertheless, they are not able to come with a running theme which will attract the voters across the country. Two, despite forming an alliance, there is a problem of a leadership issue, because Indian politics, of late elections are fought mostly on a almost like a presidential contest. The aspect of leadership has become very important, because people want to know who are your leader and who are the challenger. So in that sense, while so many opposition leaders have come together, as we saw even in the latest Delhi rally, there is no agreement or unity among them to project a leader against the incumbent prime minister. How much it works on the ground depends from state to state. So yes, unlike in the many earlier opposition coming together, this time, while there are, in terms of numbers, there are many regional parties and Congress are on the one side, this may be lacking in terms of a vibrant narrative and also a clear projection of a leader against the prime minister.
So our in-house experts feel that if BJP cannot hold on to seats in states where it had won big in 2019, it might make inroads in some other states. Also, one never says never in politics. Indira Gandhi was a popular leader who was voted out of power in 1977, only to be brought back in 1980. The electorate thought she had done her penance for imposition of emergency in just 3 years. BJP had swept the Hindi heartland states of Chhattisgarh, Rajasthan, and Madhya Pradesh in November 2003. Enthused by the results of these assembly elections, Atal Bihari Vajpayee government decided to advance the Lok Sabha elections by 6 months, from October to April-May 2004. BJP, however, was trounced by Congress-led United Progressive Alliance in these elections. So as all elections go, 2024 promises to be an interesting fight. Do listen in as we get you some ground reports and analysis throughout the poll season. This is all for today. I'm your host, Nidhi Sharma, signing off. This episode was brought to you by sound designer Indraneel Bhattacharji and producer Surohini Jain. Executive producers Anirban Chaudhary and Orijit Barman. Thank you for listening, and if you like this episode, do spread the word around. All new episodes of the Morning Brief podcast drop every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. It streams on Amazon Prime Music, JioSaavn, Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. And of course, ET's own audio platform, ET Play. Have a great week ahead. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.